steal. He has Giannis behind him. Gets to Leonard. He stuffed a facial by Kawhi Leonard over Giannis Antetokounmpo.
NBA Strayer. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's Monday, May 27, and I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer of Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA Finals. Today, that's right, we're breaking down, wrapping up after every single day of NBA action while repping Australia just a little bit, mate. It's what we do. And yes, we have our 2019 NBA Finals matchup set. Unbloody real. So, today's show, we're going to wrap an epic, huge Game 6 in the 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Raps and the Bucks with yet another epic crapping of the bed by the Bucks. We'll look at what that means for Milwaukee as well as Toronto as they head off to face the Warriors. That's going to be cool. It's all going to be covered with all the usual dumbassery. That's not a knife. Oh, mate, no, mate. Spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, there's yeah, nah. There's the unpopular opinion of the day. And there's our back takeout where we're serving up a flame grilled take. And because it's Monday, we've got a brand new Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. We also have a Shane Heal Memorial, Shooter, Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light Him Up Award, and a Mark Bradke Memorial, Sweaty Hairy Guy of the Week. And we're really loading on the segments today. Nice. And we've no game preview today, obviously, because there's no games until Friday. But we're going to look at the initial odds for some of the finals and give some thoughts. Absolutely unreal. The best bit is we're going to close out with a deli review of the Game of Thrones finale. Unreal. All right, let's get to it. It's NBA Strayer episode 294. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Or if you're Giannis and the Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the Goodland Bucks. Better watch out for the Kawhi attack. Holy moly. Kawhi. Had the last laugh there, didn't he? Holy crap. Fun times, fun times. Anyway, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily. Yeah, there we go. Whip around. Nice. We've got a little bit of news. The Nets have hired a new assistant GM from the Atlanta Hawks, Jeff Peterson. To replace Trajan Langdon, who went to the Pelicans as a GM, obviously. And turns out we've got a whole bunch of LeBron James meddling and, I don't know, sort of going out there and talking to other free agents and out there tampering pretty hardcore, which is pretty great. So, I mean, good on him. He's out there apparently talking to Anthony Davis, Kawhi, Kyrie Irving. Literally anybody who's a free agent, LeBron's out there just hanging out. He's having dinner with Kyrie. He's like chilling with AD. Just LeBron out there doing LeBron things and trying to get all of them apparently on the Lakers. As I may have tweeted out the other day, next up on his recruitment list, George Mike and Oscar Robertson and Pistol Pete. Of course, I managed to be shit-faced and misspelled that and spelled it George Mylan, which was pretty good. Oh, geez. Anyway, let us do a quick bit of weekend winners and losers, shall we?
Oh, my God. I won! I won! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is me, Kent Brockman. Can we get a shot of me? There you go. In other news, tragic mix-up today in Cleveland. Many people killed. Goodbye.
Nice. All right, weekend winners. Oh, do you reckon it's the Toronto Raptors? Yes, that's right. 194 winners over the Milwaukee. I hear it's Algonquin for the Goodland Bucks. And they are going to their first ever franchise NBA Finals. That is absolutely unreal. I mean, it's great for Toronto. That's awesome. It also means we get like a bunch of Drake and allies in the next 2 weeks. Isn't that going to be fun?
No!
Nah, too bad. Sucked in, motherfuckers. That's what we got. We got Drake. Anyway, other winners are Kawhi. Kawhi Leonard has a busted leg. The Spurs are like, oh, no, you're fine, bro. And Kawhi's like,
no, I don't think I am, man.
And they're like, no, 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 you're good. He's like, no, I don't feel good. He's like, too bad, play. He's like, fuck yes, I want to trade. And then he gets traded to Toronto and goes to the NBA Finals. Absolutely unreal. The point being, Kawhi can now just like either stick around in Toronto and be a folk hero forever. And even if he leaves after this season in free agency, like who's going to hate him in Toronto? He took them to the finals. DeMar DeRozan could never do that. Kawhi did. First year there, goes in, goes bang. Speaking of which, Kyle Lowry's another weekend winner. Wow, that's right. NBA finalist, finally. Kyle Lowry, that's pretty bloody good. Got to feel good for him. Same with Marc Gasol as well. After years upon years upon years of toiling in the Western Conference, Marc Gasol gets traded mid-year to the Eastern Conference and is suddenly in the finals going, fuck me, how easy was that? Shit, I've been wasting all my fucking career playing in the West like an idiot. On your Marc Gasol, big El Spinato. And look, other final big winner from this weekend was Nick Nurse. First year, cool guy, Nick Nurse. And he's going to the NBA Finals. Love a rookie head coach going to the finals. Steve Kerr did it. Nick Nurse has done it. It's pretty fun. Other weekend winners, I mean, not Eric Bledsoe. Yeah, that'll do it. But also, I feel like the weekend winners from this were the Warriors. That's right, the Warriors are weekend winners. We're going to talk about this a little bit later, but I feel like they would have preferred to have played Toronto as opposed to Giannis and the Bucks. So I feel like they came out winners. Anyway, we'll talk about that extensively in the next bunch of shows as we lead up to the finals. So let's get to the weekend losers, shall we?
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners, big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up.
Loser.
Losers. Losers. Ah, that's right. The Milwaukee Bucks, after going up 2-0 in the series against the Raptors, they then lost 4 straight. Absolutely wild scenes there in Toronto. I guess the other weekend winners are like the fans of Toronto in that stupid Jurassic Park. Everyone losing their fucking minds and going, oh, this is pretty good, so let's do it. Oh, yeah, cool. Good job, Toronto. We're awesome. They're like, oh, we're really good now, eh? Is that right? We're really good? We're going to play in the NBA Finals now, eh? How about car parks? good job, Canadian fans. Anyway, the losers, the Milwaukee Bucks. This is a brutal, brutal, brutal way to end your season. 4 straight losses after having lost twice in a row once all year. You win 60 games and then lose 4 straight at the end of it. That is tough, tough, tough sledding. Other losers, Giannis Antetokounmpo, the presumptive NBA MVP, went out with a whimper. Didn't score a field goal over the last 5 minutes of this game against the Raps. It was just tough watching. And you get that on the big job sometimes, but jeez, that was not great, was it? Other weekend losers, well, to be fair, a weekend winner should mean Eric Bledsoe, shouldn't he? Yeah, I'll move him back to the weekend winners because he signed his contract extension in the middle of the year. Now, if Eric Bledsoe had have signed that extension after this playoffs, what, is he taking a $20 million haircut? $25 million haircut? $4 million after this fucking shit show of a playoffs, what do you reckon he signs? 4 years, 50? Maybe. Yeah, there we go. That's $20 million haircut, I reckon he just saved himself. And for a guy who doesn't like being in hair salons, that's pretty good for Eric Bledsoe. You'll take that. Other losers, Chris Middleton. Oh, I'm the second all-star on the Milwaukee Bucks, bro. Oh, yeah? How about you fucking play like it, Chris? Yeesh. 0 assists in this game after 10 last game. Rough sledding. And finally, other weekend losers. How about the NBA? And LeBron James. This is the first NBA Finals without LeBron since 2010. I mean, we knew it was coming. It's just weird to sort of be staring it in the face and going, oh yeah, there's no LeBron in the finals. That hasn't happened since 2010. Absolutely wild. Absolutely wild. That was the old Lakers Celtics 2010. Crazy to think about. So there you go. And other weekend winners. I mean, we can probably just give it to Fred VanVleet, but we are going to be talking a lot of Fred VanVleet a little bit later. So how about we hold that? All right, let's wrap up the game, shall we? That got us here. Toronto in the six, game six. Winners over the Milwaukee Bucks. The number two seed taking out the number one seed, 194. And look, some of the big questions we had going into this series, Milwaukee, can they slow down Kawhi? Yeah, that's a no. And Toronto, can they slow down Giannis? Turns out that was a yes. And boy, howdy did they do it. The other big questions were the key blokes, Lowry. Can he be big booty Kyle Lowry or playoff Kyle Lowry? Turns out he was big booty Kyle Lowry and did some damage in this series. George Hill, can he keep it up when Bledsoe sucks? He could for a little bit, but Bledsoe sucks so hard that George Hill couldn't fill in the gaps. Yeesh. Serge Ibaka was horrible until Game 7 last series against the Sixers. It was kind of like up to him to see if he could pop off. He popped off a little bit here and there, but was much more genuinely consistent than he was against the Sixers. And that showed very, very handily in the four games they won Toronto. Brook Lopez struggled against Boston, was much better in this series and very much helped them win Game 1. But yeah, up and down, he was the only one who showed up to Game 6, really. But his shot was a little bit iffy and more iffy than you'd really like for Lopez at this point of the year, wouldn't you? That was a tough one. The matchup to keep an eye on were Kawhi versus Middleton. And Middleton did a pretty okay job against Kawhi in this last game. And Giannis didn't really go to him as much as you'd like. Gasol versus Lopez was pretty interesting. But Gasol, like, Toronto were just switching a lot in Game 6. So Gasol, as often as not, ended up on, like, Giannis, which is wild. Giannis was actually, you know, guarding Gasol himself. Lowry Bledsoe was very handily won by Kyle Lowry. And Siakam versus either Giannis, Middleton, or whoever they'd throw on him. Siakam was up and down all series, but at least was generally consistent, which is a lot more than you could say for the rest of the Milwaukee role players. Our prediction of Bucks in six did not come true, obviously, because Toronto won in six. So that's a big for me in a surprise twist. All right, so wrapping up this game, the Bucks got out there quick. The Raps just didn't score for ages. And this is like a thing that kept happening with the Bucks. They'd sort of get up and then they'd sort of just fall asleep at the wheel a little bit. The Raptors would get back into it. So didn't matter that Raptors got up big. Like, I mean, the Bucks got up big, but the Raptors had it back to 16 each out of nowhere anyway. Giannis was like sort of sitting in the middle of the first quarter for a minute, which is pretty strange. There was a great moment when Paddy Connaughton had a block, recovered the block, and then outlet passed it as he was falling out of bounds, which is wild. The Bucks got a couple of threes up going. They got up 10 very, very quickly. Ilyasova and Hill were hitting shots. Brogdon was doing all right. Bucks were up 13. It was like, all right, that's cool. Good first quarter for the Bucks, 31-18. Toronto finally get a couple of threes to go. The Bucks at that point were 6 of 9 from 3. The Toronto Raptors were 6 of 19 total from the floor, which is tough. Then, start of the second quarter, Kawhi, look, you already had 4 turnovers, but I don't know, man. They're being out-rebounded 19-8, but they just kept sticking around. It was like 44-34. The Raps, they went on an 18-7 run. The Bucks shot 3 of 14 in the second at one point. It was absolutely crazy. The Raps ended up winning the second quarter 26-19. Horrible foul by VanVleet after an even worse shot by Ilyasova in there as well. And you felt that the Bucks were kind of almost a little bit lucky to even have, you know, the 7-point lead that they had at the half, 50-43. There was like a 10-point half for Giannis. Good scoring spread for the Bucks. And you're like, all right, they don't look scared. They look ready. And that was the big advantage of coming out hot in the first quarter. It's like, all right, we're here. We're on the road. We're in an elimination game. We're going to do this. Unfortunately, they couldn't keep it up. So the first half of the Raptors, Siakam and Kawhi were good. Lowry was good. VanVleet was good. The rest of the team just didn't do anything. Gasol and Green were over, which is crazy. Kawhi rested 3 minutes in the first half, and the Bucks were plus 8 in those 3 minutes, which is pretty nuts. No Nico Mirotic for this game at all. At the half, you're like, oh, wait, there's been no Nico yet. Anyway, bang on into the third quarter. The Bucks go up 11. There's suddenly a 13-point lead. The Bucks have got an 8-0 run. Lowry hits a couple of threes, keeps the Raps in it. Bledsoe makes one big strong move where you're like, oh, that's why he makes $70 million. But man, he just seemed so tentative. He didn't want to shoot. And he'd sort of make his way into the paint without much of a plan. It was pretty crazy. Raps had a turnover. Middleton hit another three. They go up 15. Brook Lopez is having a shocking one. He was 1-7. He missed a corner three at this point, and then Kawhi. After detonating on Giannis, which was pretty bloody crazy, goes, all right, fuck it, I'm going to take over. Takes over a bit. Here it comes. Scores five straight. It's a 10-point game. Raps go on a 7-0 run. It's an 8-point game. Bledsoe takes a horrible possession and just derails entire Milwaukee offense out of nowhere. Kawhi pulls a pump fake that gets Bledsoe up in the air, jumps into him, 3-point foul shot. Kawhi misses the third free throw, gets his own rebound and is once again fouled, hits the two free throws. It's a 4-point play. It's absolutely crazy. The Bucks have it up to 15 in that quarter. The Raptors claw it back to 5 before the end of the third quarter. The third quarter finishes 76-71. No Giannis to start the fourth quarter. That doesn't seem smart because bang! The Raptors go, fuck your 5-point lead, and bang, it's gone. They erase a 15-point deficit in less than 5 minutes of game time. It's a 17-2 run. The Bucks' offense and defense completely falls apart. The Bucks were -9 in the 6 minutes that Giannis sat up to that point, which seems important. Siakam hits a shot in the Raptors' lead. Absolutely crazy. So since the 2:18 mark of the third quarter, the Raps went on a 26-3 run. Are you fucking kidding me, Bucks? It was absolutely crazy. And then the only person who shows any fucking sign of testicular fortitude, Brook Lopez. Of all people, Brook fucking Lopez is out there going, oh, guys, I've got this. Crushes it. Giannis blocks Kawhi, which is pretty crazy after Reggie Miller said that Giannis was going to go let Gasol shoot a three. And Giannis goes, oh, no, I'm actually going to block Kawhi's dunk at the rim. But 2 minutes left. The Raptors D shuts down the Bucks. Horrible shot thrown up by Hill. And it felt like that was pretty much the game. You're like, oh, they're up 5. They've just put the clamps completely on. And there is just nothing. Nothing going for the Bucks at all. And I mean, the last 5 minutes of this game seemingly took about 45 minutes to play. Everything was being reviewed. We had like out of bounds plays. We had fouls. We had the weird shot clock thing at the very end of Sikkim Siakam. It was absolutely wild. But yeah, man. It was just tough to watch the Bucks shit the bed this brutally. There was like a weird, horrible play coming out of the turnover from Kawhi. Hill just passed into traffic with Giannis. And it's like one of those ones where I think as I tweeted out, the Raptors, it was just under 2 minutes left. The Raptors saw it coming a kilometer away because that's a Canada joke because they're on the metric system because they're not absolute fucking morons like the Americans with their imperial system. But it sort of writ large the entire series of the Bucks running this play going, oh, we'll do a pick and roll with Giannis and oh no, they saw that coming a mile away and we've turned the ball over. Thanks, George Hill. There's a minute left and now we've basically lost the game and it's kind of like this big idea of the entire series just encapsulated in one play. Hill just passing the traffic with Giannis, turns it over, Raptors just get it, away we go. Kawhi gets the rebound and it's over. I mean, Lopez got fouled. 29.6 seconds left, 3-point game. But the Bucks just couldn't lock in, just couldn't get anything going, could they? It's 97-94 at that point. I mean, ugh. Siakam, they force a pretty bad shot. But again, and this is a weird thing, they out-rebound the Raptors, but they can't get crucial rebounds off free throws, off shots like this. Siakam gets the ball back, kicks it out to Lowry. And the refs are like, oh, that actually, we didn't reset the clock and I think Kyle Lowry got the ball. And like the Raps are like, yo, motherfuckers, we could have like dribbled this goddamn game out. Anyway, doesn't matter. Siakam makes a free throw. They're up 4. What are you going to do? It's all over. 7.9 seconds. Gasol can't get it inbounded. Kawhi finally gets it. Gets fouled. Hits them both. 6-point game. All over. Wild end. Raptors off to their first ever NBA Finals. Absolutely crazy. So the Bucks did stop there. So for the Bucks, they shot 40% as a team. That's where they got killed, man. Literally just a couple of misses each from like Middleton, Lopez, Giannis. And then, you know, Bledsoe missed too many. Ilyasova missed just a couple too many. Hill missed a couple of layups where you're like, fuck, why didn't that go down? And bang, they just had these stretches where they let the Raps just outscore them, as we saw, like 29-3, which is absolutely bananas. They started 6 of 9 from 3 and went 6 of 25 the rest of the way. Jesus. Yep, not great. So Giannis, look, another rough game for him. 21 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals and 3 blocks. So not a bad stat line, but it's also one of those games where you go, oh, well, did you watch it? Because in the fourth quarter, he had one made field goal. And it was, I believe, with over 5 minutes left in the game. So he didn't score another field goal the rest of the bloody way. It's like, come on, Giannis. I know that the refs were putting away their whistles, but at the same time, mate, at the same bloody time, he went 1 of 5 in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's pretty tough, isn't it? It's pretty, pretty tough. 3 points for him. He took 2 free throws in the quarter and hit 1 shot. Just, come on, man. I mean, the way the Raps covered him was pretty incredible as well, though. He was sort of facing switches, splits, and like every time he tried to run a pick and roll, they always had a body on him. They were already one step ahead. The Raptors D was great. He'd be facing 5 dudes in a line anytime he had a slight head of steam going towards the rim. He just couldn't get the separation that he needed. It might have been his ankle was a little bit tweaked. I don't know, wild times, but Giannis did not look bang on. And the playmaking and the shot making just wasn't quite there. And you could sort of see it on the other end where Kawhi was just really fucking good, making the rest of the team better around him, making shots when he needed to. And Giannis just couldn't match that. Chris Middleton, he went 5 of 13, 4 of 8 from 3. Some pretty good shots from downtown, including one where he was falling out of bounds. You're like, dude, isn't that the shot you basically missed in game 5? What the hell? Anyway, went missing in a big game again, though. Like 5 of 13 for 14 points. He had 10 assists in game 5. He had 0 in game 6. It's like, come on, man. We're watching Bledsoe struggle. We're watching George Hill not being able to hit too many shots. We're seeing, you know, Malcolm Brogdon not wanting to shoot at all. Chris, this is your time. And Chris Middleton bottled it. Speaking of bottling, Bledsoe put on a bled show. Unfortunately, it was a shit show. 8 points, 7 assists, 2 turnovers, 3 of 9 shooting, including 1 of 3 from 3. And look, you can't discount the D he was playing, which is very good. But man, he was so bad on offense that it would just like suck the life out of the Milwaukee Bucks over and over and over again. And you're like, Jesus, this guy is like a net minus so bad. Ugh. Killed you. And like was just clearly afraid to shoot. He's like Ben Simmons out there. Brook Lopez, wildly enough, took over the game late while the rest of the team was shitting themselves. Brook Lopez like, oh, fuck it. I'll do it then. 11 points in the fourth quarter for Lurch, 4.5 from the floor, 4 out of 5 shooting from the floor. He was amazing. Literally the only bloke doing anything that fourth quarter. 18 points, 9 rebounds total. 0 of 3 from 3 though, which was a bit tough one because, you know, he kept taking to the paint when he was pretty obvious like that his shot wasn't falling. But man, that's the up and down thing about like Lopez's games throughout these playoffs where you're like, yeah, that's great. If we get a little bit of consistency with that 3-point shot, I know that you have like, you know, a pretty decent average, but that's an average. You have these peaks and troughs, and when the troughs are there, man, it makes it tougher for everybody. Malcolm Brogdon, he had 10 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He had 17 field goal attempts last game and only had 6 in this one, which was very, very rough. Speaking of dudes who were kind of like, oh, I'm not entirely sure if I should be shooting. What do I do? And kind of crapped it. Yep, that was Brogdon. No, sorry, he had 17 field goal attempts last game. Jesus, he had 10. So from, yeah, game 3, he had 17. Game 4, he had 11. Game 5, he had 17. Only took 6 shots in game 6. That is brutal. Malcolm, what are you doing, mate? El Presidente did not play presidential. Well, played pretty presidentially if we're talking about the current president. But the weird thing about Brogdon, that didn't seem to be too much of a plan whenever he had the ball, which is weird because he's 26. It's not a lack of experience. He's been here in the playoffs. He's been pretty good. Just, I don't know. There's just something a little bit lacking where you're like, he's not a young player. He's just, he hasn't played too many years in the NBA, I guess, but Jesus. For the bench, the Bucks, they had 23 points after 15 and 18 the last 2 games, which is pretty good. 7 of 17 shooting, though. 3 of 10 from 3 from them. George Hill, really, George Hilled up this one. 10 points on 10 shots. 1 of 5 from 3. LeBron was somewhere going, see? I fucking told you. He fucking sucks. Classic. Ilyasova got going early. He had 13 points on 3 of 7 shooting, which is pretty bloody good. But again, 1 of 5 from 3. And you're like, ah, oh, come on, guys. Look. Come on. No, he had 2 of 5, sorry. And got to the free throw line a couple of times, but just couldn't really assert himself in on the game like you'd kind of want Ilyasova to do for his 22 minutes. Tough one. Patty Connaughton, 10 minutes for 0 points and zero field goal attempts, which was pretty crazy. He had that one block, which I mentioned was absolutely sick. But he's the kind of guy where you do need his random two or three buckets that just come out of nowhere. The old junk buckets, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. But really good junk buckets from Patty Connaughton come in handy. It's like 6 to 8 points where you're like, oh shit, where did that come from? Sweet. And for him to have 0 points and zero field goal attempts in 10 minutes is pretty brutal. Patty, you're killing me, mate. No Nico Mirotic, as mentioned, and that, you know, there's a reason why no team ever wants to really keep Nico Mirotic around, you know. No one ever seems fully happy to have him on their team. Doesn't nut up in big moments. And when he's actually out there in big moments, he actively sabotages your team, seemingly. So the flip side, the Raptors, the successful, triumphant Toronto Raptors, they shoot 48% from the floor. 13 from three, they're 12 of 27. Even though they got out-rebounded 42 to 38, they had a couple of very handy offensive rebounds late. Very good stuff. Kawhi was absolutely wild. 27, 17, and 7. Absolutely nuts. We're going to talk about him later, but 9 of 22 from the floor. 1 of 8 from 3, which you'd think is pretty bad, but wow, did he hit that last three and just huge fashion. Siakam had some big moments up and down, but he was very good. Hit some clutch free throws after bottling it in the Sixers series, which is pretty funny. 18 points, 4 rebounds, 7 of 17 shooting for him. 1 steal and a block. Pretty good. Pretty good Siakam Siakam. Again, junk buckets. Got a couple of good ones where it was like offensive rebounds and like a little bit of a putback or a little shovel shot up and like 2 points out of nothing. Very handy. Big booty car Lowry had a good game. 17 points for him. 6 of 10 shooting. 8 assists. 3 of 4 from 3. And it was pretty cool to see him on the podium after the game, wasn't it? With the Eastern Conference Finals trophy. So good on you. Mark, Coach Killer Gasol hit a massive 3 late, which was hilarious because he only hit 2 shots for his 6 points. Both 3s. 1 early and 1 to give them a 4-point lead with 3.5 minutes left. That was absolutely bloody crucial. It was wild. Otherwise, he had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block, and didn't do a giant amount otherwise. And Danny Not the Boxer Green, Jesus. Danny Not the Boxer Green has had an absolute Barry Crocker shocker of a series, and somehow, because they win, everybody completely forgets it. Wow. He scored 21 points total in this entire series and scored 0 points in Game 5 and 6 and went 0 of 7 combined, all of which were from 3. Absolutely brutal showing. He shot 17% for the fucking series, including 15% from 3. He hit a total of 6 shots in these 6 games. 1 in game 1, 2 in game 2, 1 in game 3, and 2 in game 4. Danny Not the Boxer Green. Pretty bloody shit. Yeah, anyway. He got pulled for Van Vliet again, which was a smart move. Nick Nurse, good stuff. The bench again was sensational for the Raps. Norm Powell had 9 very crucial points. Junk buckets. Talk about junk buckets. Norm Powell. He's found money every time he does anything. 9 crucial points from Norm. 1 of 1 from 3. 4 rebounds. 3 out of 5 field goals. Absolutely wild times. Serge Ibaka had 9 points, 3 rebounds. 4 of 7 shooting. It was very good when he was out there too. Didn't bottle it. Was happy to take some shots. Got in amongst the tall trees there. Did some nice rebounding. But Freddie Van Vliet of the Fightin' Van Vliet's was once again massive. Back-to-back-to-back amazing games from Fred Van Vliet. We'll talk about him later. But 14 points, 5 of 6 from the floor, including 4 of 5 from 3. He was absolutely incredible. And your Toronto Raptors win 4-2 to go to the finals for the very first time in franchise history. Absolutely wild times. Congratulations, Toronto. And you know what we're going to do, Bucks? I'm real sorry, but it's time to go. You got to find your way out. There you go. And let's clap him out. Come on. All right. Thanks, Bucks. You were pretty good all year. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for coming. You lost 2 games straight all year. 2 games once and then dropped 4 straight. All right. NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
Knife. That's a knife.
Kawhi, 27, 17, and 7. Absolutely absurd numbers. God damn, he was good. The best part was 1 of 8 from 3. The one coming when he was 0 of 7 from 3, hits a 3 with 3 minutes left to put the Raptors back up 5. It was massive. But it was just all the weird little plays, like the junk plays, the clutch hustle plays that Kawhi kept coming up with. Steals, offensive rebounds, the free throw rebounds. Oh my God, the free throw rebounds. He missed a free throw, got his own rebound and got fouled again. Did it again later as well. Absolutely crazy stuff. They're up 4 with a bit over a minute left. He got the offensive rebound. It just completely sucked the life back out of Milwaukee where they're like, oh, the possession's over. Well, as we all know, the possession's not over until you've secured the rebound. And Kawhi's like, oh, I'm just going to get this one for you, hey? Okay, thanks, Toronto. This has been great. I just got the rebound. We have the ball again. Let's get back on offense. And everyone's like, oh, thanks, Kawhi. This is great. But really, the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. This goes to Kawhi because he never balked. He never worried. Never looked like the moment was too big. Never. And this is the thing. We might give him shit for looking like a fucking robot, looking like the Terminator. He's like the T-1000 out there. Kawhi 1000. You're like, all right, man. But still, he never bottled it. And you know who fucking bottled it? The entire Milwaukee Bucks team, apart from maybe Brook Lopez. Which was wild for Brook Lopez, who spent years upon years upon years stealing money from the Brooklyn Nets. For him to be actually out there going, fucking on my back, I'm the only one who apparently cares now. What the fuck is going on? Meanwhile, Giannis is running over dudes in the paint, looking like a chook with its head cut off. Kawhi out there, cool as a fucking cucumber, knocking in shots, hitting a 3 to put them up 5. Absolutely crazy. Clutch ass stuff. Kawhi, this decent conference finals and indeed this playoff series run. You know where this has to go, don't you? You just know it. All right, where's this Kawhi run go?
This is going straight to the pool room.
Abso-bloody-lutely. All right, who was old mate? No mates, however.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no
mates. Old mate, no
mates. Who's got no mates today? It's Giannis, isn't it? It is. It's Giannis. 21 points and 18 shots. 5 of 10 from the free throw line. And 1 of 5 from the floor in the fourth quarter. It's tough, man. It is tough. His last bucket was scored with over 5 minutes left in the game. Didn't score a field goal the rest of the way. I mean, for all the shit people want to give Ben Simmons, Giannis kind of proved that no matter how good the rest of your game is and how willing you are to shoot threes, he took 5, made 2. If defense really key in on you and you can't sort of make shots, create shots with absolute ease when the defense is really clamped down, it's kind of over. I mean, he shot 44% for the series, 44%. He had 24 points and 30 points in their first two games, which were their wins. In the losses, he had 12, 25, 24, and 21. Ouch. And it wasn't all just Kawhi on this one either. Kawhi went to him a bunch more in games 3, 4, 5. They were doing a lot more switching in this game. And Giannis still didn't quite know exactly what to do. There are points where you're like, Giannis, you can probably, you could see him trying to force his way into the paint. Unfortunately, there were usually 3 to 4 Raptors kind of already there. The help was already there. And when Malcolm Brogdon's only taking 6 shots and Chris O'Middleton isn't quite knocking him down like he should be, and Bledsoe's afraid to shoot, and Lopez can't hit threes, suddenly your margin for error gets very, very small. And Giannis isn't quite there. He dominated the regular season, but man, the playoffs are where your bones are made, and Giannis has not quite made those bones yet. It's all well and good to beat the absolute bejesus out of the Boston Celtics, who are completely discombobulated and, you know, falling apart at the seams. Toronto, offer up, you know, a hell of a challenge, and Giannis couldn't rise to it. Hurts me in my heart. He was amazing, but man, absolutely brutal showing. 7 of 18 shooting, 21 points. Tough stuff. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. Bledsoe, besides his pretty decent defense, goddamn, he was bad. There was a possession with a couple of minutes left in the third quarter where he just ended up with a ball with no plan whatsoever and chucked up one of the worst looking shots you could ever imagine. That was like one of those moments where you're like, ah, yeah, the Bucks are shitting it, aren't they? Oh, wow. And like this was in the middle of a Toronto run where they had been up, you know, the Bucks were up 15. And then suddenly it's getting all the way down to 5 at the end of the third quarter. Bledsoe has a moment where he's like, all right, Giannis and I have a bit of a two-man game here. And Bledsoe just ends up with a ball with about 8 seconds left on the shot clock, dribbles around aimlessly, wanders into like, I don't know, a foot and a half maybe in front of the three-point line and chucks up this horrible shot that barely grazes the front of the rim. And you're like, oh, no, they're shitting it. They're shitting themselves. That's what the Bucks are doing. They're shitting themselves. But a big point of, you know, you live by the Bledsoe, you die by the Bledsoe is the actual spud of the night goes to Coach Spud's Buds. Ah, but I love Buds, I know. But hey, Buds, it's game 6, mate. Giannis is 24 years old. He can probably play, if not all 48 minutes, then at least more than 40 fucking one, mate. What are you doing, Buds? What are you saving him for? Next season? I mean, are you saving him for like, I don't know, the exhibition games against the NBL next year? Are you kidding me? Kawhi averaged 41 minutes a game in this series. Up until the 41 he had in this game, he averaged only 38 minutes a game. And the Bucks were -9 in the game where Giannis sat, which, you know, them being -9 in the minutes that Giannis sat tells me two things. That the rest of the team is trash, apparently, and Giannis probably shouldn't have sat in an elimination game on the road. Buds, mate, come on. Now is not the time to be fucking around with minutes and like saving Giannis. Oh, but if he's tired at the end, he shouldn't be fucking tired at the end. He's 24 and he's a goddamn freak athlete. What are you doing? Buds, your spud of the night. Pants of the night goes to Giannis as well. He got by Kawhi, which is pretty great. It was very much a Kawhi is like dunking over him and doing these ones in the air. And you just knew as Kawhi dunked all over Giannis and put him on a poster that somewhere Aaron Bangers Baines was eating cement and laughing his ass off, which is pretty crazy. Unfortunately, we also had to deal with Reggie Miller commentating during this one. So he said some dumb shit, but didn't even come up with something awesome like, you're welcome to your Kawhi-diac moment. Stupid Reggie. What about better than Lonzo Ball for the game?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, especially if you're Fred VanVleet of the Fighting Van Vliets. That's right, Fred VanVleet, undrafted. Who would you rather on your team right now, Lonzo Ball or Fred VanVleet? He had a kid and then started shooting like a madman. I had a kid and just got fat. There's a difference. Freddie VanVleet out there dropping bombs, mate. He was absolutely unreal. We're going to talk about him later, but Fred VanVleet, officially better than Lonzo Ball, especially considering Lonzo Ball has never made a conference finals and is currently at home sitting around scratching his nuts watching these playoffs because apparently that's what balling season is.
It's balling season!
Scratching those nuts. All right, finally, Dickhead of the Weekend goes to, what do you reckon?
Dickhead of the Week!
How about Uncle Dennis? Kawhi's Uncle Dennis is out there straight after the Eastern Conference Finals being like, hey man, we're going to take it one game at a time. It's one game at a time. Yeah, Kawhi's going to take it one game at a time. Uncle Dennis, how about you shut the fuck up, mate? They've just won the goddamn Eastern Conference Finals. We're going to the finals and you're like, hey, Toronto, don't take him for granted because he might be gone. He might be gone because he's only taking one game at a time. Why not say some cool shit like, hey man, we're here for Toronto right now. This is fucking great. Yeah, we're all in with you, the six, right now. Let's do this damn thing. One game at a time. Fuck you, Uncle Dennis, you dickhead. But also Drake. I absolutely love that he got told off by the NBA and the Raptors and told like, hey, man, Drake, sit down and shut the fuck up or you're gone. And he was much more under wraps in this game, which was fucking fantastic. But, man, I'm very much looking forward to Steph clowning him in the finals, aren't you? Because Drake apparently is literally the only person who can get me to be on Steph Curry's side. So thanks, Drake, I guess. But either way. You and Uncle Dennis, a dickhead of the weekend. All right, let's do some yen-ahs right after. Let's say this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yen-ahs. We take a bunch of NBA storylines and decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, was that simply an epic shitting in the bed by Milwaukee? Yeah, nah, yeah! I mean, look. It was an epic shitting of the bed by Milwaukee, but it was a forced shitting of the bed upon them, I think, by the Raptors. Like, the Raptors did play better, but not so substantially better that you're like, oh, wow, they should have just smoked them for four straight games. It was the Raptors continuously putting on enough pressure that Milwaukee just sort of eventually broke and cracked. And that's what happened. Like, Raps put themselves in a position to take advantage of Milwaukee and make Milwaukee shit the bed. So hats off to the Raps, man. They had the right defensive schemes. They had the best play in the series and the balls to stick with it and sneak it out and just sort of trust themselves down the stretch, which Milwaukee never had. There was never a point in like those last three games, at least of the series, where you're like, hey, yeah, Milwaukee looked very confident in themselves in second halves. It was just continuously fucking like, oh, crap. What do we do? And I don't know what to say, man. Remember our buds? He had the 60-win Atlanta Hawks team. Kind of a similar vibe, right? Where they're just like, ah, fuck, LeBron, what do we do? Ah, and they just like would fall apart. And you can have like an amazing regular season. You can have a system that works. And then apparently you get, you know, down to the crunch moments and they shit themselves. Interesting, I'm just saying. Number two, was this Milwaukee season therefore a disappointment? Yeah, nah, come on. The way it ended, yeah, that sucked and was disappointing. But overall, 60 wins, the Eastern Conference Finals. That's a definite win for them as a franchise. They've got a coach. They've got an identity. They've got the MVP. They just need to make some more tweaks around the edges and figure out the right people to put with Giannis, and they're golden. But yeah, still, the season wasn't a disappointment. The way it ended is.
Yeah.
Will the Bucks be back? Yeah, nah. Yeah, Giannis is going to win the MVP and should be back better next year because he's 24. 20 bloody 4! They just need to figure out if Sterling Brown, DJ Wilson are players, what they're going to do with Lopez, Mirotic, Hill, etc. Some pretty interesting decisions, but yeah, it should be very fun. Next up, are the Warriors stoked that Toronto won? Yeah, nah. Yeah, I mentioned this earlier. I don't know if the Warriors wanted any part of Milwaukee, where they've got Giannis without the coward snake, Kevin Durant to check him, and only really Iguodala, McKinney, etc. They would have Bledsoe, Hill, and Brogdon to throw at Steph. You'd be spreading Draymond out with Lopez, Nico Mirotic, etc. The Raps have got a similar kind of setup, though. But I feel like just, I don't know, across the board, they're just that little hint less threatening. Just a little bit. So I feel like the Warriors would feel a hint more confident against the Raps than it would be over Milwaukee. Because I just don't know if with the Warriors and their defense could contain Giannis the way the Raptors did. But I feel like they might be able to at least contain Kawhi a bit better. So, I don't know. It's weird. Speaking of which, is Kawhi the biggest winner out of the Raps making the finals? Yeah, nah. Yeah, so I mentioned this earlier. He's turned back into the player he used to be. It's now, for him, win or lose, he can bounce and go, thanks for the memories, Toronto, this was awesome, and not feel bad about it or have Toronto hate his guts forever. Or he stays and he becomes a fucking cult hero in Toronto for the rest of his life. I mean, these motherfucking lovely Canadians have fallen back in love with Vince Carter, even though he fucking dropped them like a hot sack of shit. And they've just gone, oh, that's pretty okay, man. I would have done the same thing in the same part, you know. It's like, all right. Well, just imagine if Kawhi sticks around. Jesus Christ. All right. Unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. I would have much rather see Milwaukee take on the Warriors. And I would have liked to have seen Milwaukee beat the Warriors. Now it's Toronto versus the Warriors. I kind of now want to see the Warriors finish off a three-peat. A, I like three-peats. I like having markers in time when we look back and go, oh, shit, yeah. The Warriors won three straight, and it could have been five, but for Dele, LeBron, and Kyrie. So I kind of like that idea. And B, I just kind of like the idea that Drake would be disappointed. We did this. Oh, fuck off, Drake. Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard did this. Not you, you fucking moron. Anyway, I also love this. This got brought up as well. Popovich was so busy out there just going, making sure he fucked over the Lakers that he sent the Raps to the finals. That's pretty great. All right, let's dip into Outback Takehouse. It's Monday at Outback, and you know what that means. That's right. Davo's hit an emu in his rodeo. So, guess what's on the special boards? Alice Springs chicken. That's right. Only at Outback Takehouse. Goes great as a flame-grilled take. And today's flame-grilled take is... The NBA rigged it for the Raptors to make the NBA Finals so that Kawhi either stays in Toronto and keeps another star in the East or placates the Canadian fans when he bolts at the end of the year. Because then he can always say, at least you got to go to the Finals. Only at Outback. Yeah, not bad. All right, we'll be back with the Andrew Gaze Great Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence, Shane Hill Shooter Shoot Shot Light 'Em Up Award, and more right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
Andrew Gaze Great Mamba. Yes, clap it up. Clap it up. Woo-wee. Let's give it to the Andrew Gaze Great Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. Yeah, we're not going to do Australian Player Watch because Bogey's just been sitting around on Twitter for the last week and a half hanging out until the finals make it. So the Andrew Gaze Great Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence goes to, very easily, Kawhi Leonard. That's right, man. In the Eastern Conference Finals, Kawhi averaged 30 points, 9 rebounds, and 4 assists. He was absolutely unreal. He was the primary ball handler at all the crucial moments. He did all the hard nut things. He had 27, 17, and 7 in the elimination game. 35, 7, and 9 in game 5. 19, and 7 in game 4. 36, 9, and 5 in game 3. And the craziest thing is, don't forget, after game 2, he was on one leg. He averaged 39 and 4 on one bloody leg. He shot 45% and 34% from 3. Kawhi Leonard was the very best player in this series by a long stretch on one leg against the MVP of the NBA. Now, if that's not Andrew Gaze Great Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence worthy, I don't bloody well know what is. On you, Kawhi. Have a laugh for us, mate. Sweet. All right, let's do the Shane Hill Shooter Shoot. Show your shot. Light 'em up award.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I'm healed, because we have the Shane Hill Shooter Shoot. Show your shot. Light 'em up award for the Eastern Conference Finals. That goes to Fred VanVleet of the Fighting VanVleet. Holy shit. He has a kid and then has three of the greatest games of his fucking life. Fred VanVleet of the Fighting VanVleets. Game 4. Goes 5 of 6 from the floor. 3 of 3 from 3. 3 for 3? 13.6 assists. Game 5 famously goes off and hits 7 threes for 21 points. And game 6 was low-key massive in getting them back into this game. Hit some big shots, especially when they're down, to give them a fighting chance over and over and over. Ends up with 14 points, including 4 of 5 from 3. So, for those playing along at home, in an Eastern Conference Finals, Fred VanVleet of the Fighting VanVleets went 14 of 17 from 3 over those last 3 games. That sidestep series he hit, put them up 5 with 8 minutes left, was absolutely fucking next level. But 14 of 17 from 3, that's 82.4% from 3. That is the highest percentage over a 3-game span in the history of the NBA by a player with at least 15 attempts. Now, if that isn't Shane Hill-esque, I don't know what is. Now, the big question is, who would win a game of one-on-one between Shane the Hammer Hill and Fred VanVleet of the Fighting VanVleets? Is this like Alien versus Predator? Like, whoever wins, we lose? Holy shit, Hammer would light it up, but Fred, better defender. Now, that's a matchup for the ages. Love it. All right, and then, how about the old sweaty, hairy bloke of the week? That's right, the Mark Radke Memorial. Well, this was a fun series because we had Brook Lopez versus Marc Gasol. Two very sweaty, hairy blokes, if ever there were. Brook Lopez looks like a walking shag pile carpet that someone's drenched with a hose. While Marc Gasol, I don't know, man, he jogged up the court once and should have had a ball boy following with a fucking towel. Marc Gasol looks like he smells like paella and sangria. You know? Just walk like and like baked terracotta tiles. Lopez looks like he smells like a wet sheep. I don't like a wet woolen jumper. Big fella got sweaty too, man. I don't know if they had the reverse cycle HVAC going on in Toronto, but goddamn, there were a couple of sweaty, hairy blokes of the week, and they were both sweaty and hairy in total memorial of Mark Bradke making the Eastern Conference Finals a twofer on the Mark Bradke Memorial Sweaty Hairy Guys of the Week. That was great. Thanks, Brook Lopez and Mark Gasol. All right, what else we got? We've got a bit of, should we do a bit of Jinglin' Joe Ingles for the Patty Mills Game Day Ball, a Game Day Twitter check-in, shall we? All right, Jinglin' Joe Ingles. Let's check out what he's got to tweet about. Oh, love this one. So Eric Woodyard tweeted out, look who I ran into at the Lifetime store this week. And it's seemingly Eric Woodward with a cutout of Jinglin' Joe Ingles in his Rise Above the Average Lifetime cutout. Jinglin' Joe Ingles, in classic knockabout legendary Joe Ingles fashion, tweeted out, hope you bought a Lifetime hoop. I'm not for sale. Shrug emoji. Classic bloody jingles, isn't it? Ah, oh, how inspiring is that? We should have some Patty Mills, I think, in the tweets this week as well. There's a list on Instagram, so we'll get around to that. But that's it, I reckon, for the inspiration board for right now. Let's have a look at some of the odds for the NBA Finals, shall we? We're going to do a big actual preview show on Thursday, I believe, and look at all the odds. But let's have a look at the initial odds for the NBA Finals. The Raptors, don't forget, are hosting the Golden State Warriors. And crazily enough, in Game 1 on Monday, May 27, the Toronto Raptors are 1-point favorites. That's right, 1-point favorites in Game 1 at home there in Toronto. Absolutely wild. Can you believe that? How good is this? So that's pretty great. What else do you reckon? So Golden State versus Toronto. What else do you want to see? Do you want to see some NBA Finals MVP odds? Steph Curry at the moment is $1.60. Kawhi is at $3.45. The coward snake Kevin Durant, wildly enough, is at $17. And Clay is at $24. Steph's going to win it if the Warriors win it because he's the sentimental favorite. But also the series total games, which is always one of my favorite over-under bets. Four games is at 5-1. Five games is at $3.50-1. Six games, $2.80. And seven games, $3.40. Five games is probably my favorite because we'll get to this at the end of the week, but I've got a feeling it's going to be five, but whatever. The series handicap as well is the Warriors -2.5 versus the Raptors +2.5, which is pretty cool. So the correct score of Warriors sweep is $5.80 at the moment. Warriors 4-1 is $4.50, and that's probably my favorite bet. So pretty interesting. I always like the series correct score after three games as well. The Golden State Warriors 2-1 is a 2-1, and that's another one that I very much like. So there you go. But anyway, don't worry about that. We'll be doing a big preview, including a whole bunch of betting odds and everything on Thursday's show, which should be very fun. So you know what? Holy shit, that's it. Wow. We're almost there. The NBA Finals. Can you believe it? We will be back tomorrow with a guest, hanging out, talking some shit, doing some yenars, and talking a bit of Blazers and Bucks, and where do they go from here? Our beaten conference finalists, which should be pretty fun. In the meantime, make sure you're all over NBA Straya on the old socials and everything. That'll be, we're all over that no matter what time of day, what part of the game, if there is a game or not. That's what we do. So we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you know that. Get around NBAStraya.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, first go to NBAStraya.com, click on the giant Amazon button on the right-hand side, and then go do all your shopping. That helps out heaps. So come on, man. We do this daily. Hook us up, would ya? Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, whatever app you listen to the show through. If there's a rating thing, do it, would ya? Helps out heaps. Big thanks to From Ozzo for the intro and outro song, but go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. It's absolutely unreal. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green Green Green, and Dozer for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia support Australian bands. Wow. And here we are. Warriors, Raptors, NBA Finals. Absolutely unreal. Pretty stoked. Looking forward to this week as well, where we do some fun previews and fun looks backs and stuff. It should be really good. So stick around for a brand new Deli review as he talks about the Game of Thrones finale. And we will catch you tomorrow, dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, Zon. Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's your old mate Deli over here, just hanging out in the off-season, catching up on some pop culture for you lot as NBA Australia's pop culture correspondent, eh? So, look, I don't know about yous, but well, I've been putting in like 2 days to get fit for next year. My old mates at the Barks are out there crapping the bloody bird worse than my mate Sean the Shitter. And Sean the Shitter once got so shit-faced in year 11 at a party just outside of Maribara at Beck Horsley's house that he shit himself in his sleep. Like, we all woke up, we're like, oh, what's that fucking smell? Oh, Sean shit himself. And that's why he was known as Sean the Shitter, eh? So, anyway, the bloody Barks, well, I'll tell ya, not to point fingers or nothing, but if you had your old mate Dally on that team out there, I guarantee we wouldn't have lost, eh? Like, I mean, how many points did bloody Kyle Lowry score? What, 17? Mate, with Dally out there, that's automatically 7. Just take 10 off the title. Bang, you won the game. Jeez, Bucks. Just saying, cost yourselves a title by trading Dally away, eh? Yeah, just saying. Anyway, like, no sour apples or grapes or nothing here. Just plenty of workouts and tins in the off-season, so I'll come back fighting fit for the Boomers this fucking August, September, eh? And win some gold. Can't bloody wait, mate. Stoked to be on the Boomers again. Nothing better than pulling on the green and gold. And not just because the Dally ones match the uniforms perfect or that it looks like my favourite food, have a taste. Nah, I just could not be more bloody proud to represent the great country of Australia. Like, it's going to be sick running out there with mate Bangers, my mate Patty, my mate Big Baggy, my mate Big Simo. Should be fucking grouse, mate. Let's get that fucking gold. All right, so, yeah, what else? So, I guess the reason I'm here as usual is to do my pop culture view anyway. So, you know, Boomers, off-season, pop culture. I promised you last week I'd do a Game of Thrones finale, didn't I? So, all right, I guess here we are. Well, that was pretty fucking shithouse, wasn't it? I mean, A, the dragon fucked off. B, that chick got killed. And, like, C, fucking Bran? Are you fucking serious, mate? The bloke who fucked off for entire seasons, when he was back, he just sort of started saying weird shit and looking away all the time and, like, looking higher than my mate from Maribara High School Year 10 Mass, Green Steve. Like, what a fucking joke. It's like the blokes who were making this did what your old mate Dally used to do. Forget about the due date for when something's got to be handed in, then half-ass it the night before fucking four. I mean, that's all well and good for a Year 12 English assignment, but not for the biggest telly show ever. What the fuck he's doing? So, look, that was a bit of a fucking letdown, wasn't it? I was all fucking psyched. Me and the missus were on the couch. Like, fucking, here we go. And then it's like, the little bloke, Tyrion, he's rabbiting on about stories. And then Sansa's all like, nah, fuck yous. And then they all fuck off. And Bran's like, all right, fucko, sort this shit out. I'm going to go take a shit. So what the fuck? This is a worse ending than Sean the Shitter's night on the Terps. So, fuck. I don't know, man. Or is it 8 seasons and that's what happens? Fuck off. I mean, look, the Game of Thrones finale, they killed some fuckers, the dragon was like, whatever, and I don't know, like, who fucking cares at the end of it, eh? The blokes who were running it clearly didn't, so I'm like, alright, you're only going to get 13 out of 10 Dally 1s for your Game of Thrones finale. Because just like my high school report card, should have been better, needs to focus more, you fucked it. Alright, so, I don't know, going to talk about some other shit next week, I guess, and, yeah, that's it for this week. I'll be back next week on NBA Australia. Later, cunts. Dally out.